Our gospel for this first Sunday of this new year, this baptism of our Lord, comes to us from another beginning, the first chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, I know what's printed there. I'm reading some more, so don't get crazy if you think that I'm reading something I'm not supposed to be. Actually, I'm going to read from the beginning of Mark. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now I know that there's a number of people out there who somehow think that there's a lot of games today, this afternoon, that are very, very important. I just want you all to realize that God is not that big of a football fan. God's a fan of baseball. It's in the scriptures, in the big inning. Just saying. Now, it's a new year, we've got these new days, it's a new calendar, hopefully we're writing 2024 on our checks and everything else like that. There's a lot of new supposedly going on, and there's always times when you think about some of the new things that came about that, helped advance things along. Like, the shovel was truly groundbreaking. The broom swept the nation, but it was really the wheel that got things rolling. Now, some of you might, a lot of resolutions in a new year and stuff like that. Do you know that the number one resolution for procrastinators last year was to stop? Last year? Keep thinking about it, children. It's okay. We'll get to it eventually. And one of the neat things about when I was on sabbatical and we went to France is, you know the French like to eat snails? Do you know why? They don't like fast food. And it's actually a thing. It literally is snail racing. And in any kind of competitive things, there's always a cheat. There was somebody who tried to make their snail faster by taking the shell off. They found out all it did is make them a little more sluggish. Can you tell that one of my resolutions had nothing to do with my jokes? Or maybe it was, but I'll get to it. This is a new time, a new year, a new day. But let's face it, in faith, every day is a new day. Every day is an opportunity for new. And it actually isn't just at daybreak. It's any time you go. It's new. Why? Because in the beginning, things happen. But what's in the beginning? When's the beginning? Whenever. For whatever reason, they didn't want the beginning of Mark in today's gospel lesson. And maybe it's because it offends deeply everybody who knows English. The gospel of the Lord begins with the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Verb? There's no verb. But there is a verb. You know what the verb is? You. You are the verb. And a whole bunch of you are immediately going, okay, Pastor, even that the most grammatically challenged I can be, you is not a verb. You is a pronoun. How can you be a verb? Well, guess what, children? You not only are the verb, you are also the object and the subject of all of this in the beginning. Your response to this gift, your response to this gospel, is the beginning. You are the verb. Faith is not a passive event. You are the verb. You are the reason. You're the energy, the motive force. You are the reason why there is the good news of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that came. And in amongst everything that goes on, we often miss that. Because we're the ones who think that we have to go and find, to go and seek. One of the top two resolutions in the United States for decades has to do with faith and spirituality. The other one is health and wellness. Okay? Somewhere along the line, one of those two is the top two there is. And sometimes, you know, and the average life expectancy of a resolution is 17 days. And I wonder how much of it is because we give up on the fact that we got to go and find Jesus. We got to go and get something. It is about something that we have to do. No, the verb isn't do, the verb is you. The good news comes to you. But how often do we miss it? Because of any and everything else that's going on in our lives. How often do we miss the epiphany? Epiphany means the awareness, the realization, the presentation of. You know, this whole season of Epiphany is going to be full of lessons in which we see Jesus as the Son of God. The baptism stories and all the things that you're going to hear in Epiphany are about us being aware of the fact that here is God in our midst already. So what the heck gets in the way? Well, stop and think. In the first lesson, in the beginning, everything was formless and void, and then God said, "Let there be light." Everything was chaos. How often does our chaos in our life keep us from seeing anything? Especially since we have a tendency to equate the presence of God with power and might and glory and massive peace and wealth and all of this other stuff. If any of those things are missing, of course God can't be there, because why not? He's not there. Too much is going on. I can't see God. And there he is, coming in the midst of formless and void, and he says, "Let there be light." Notice he doesn't first say, "Stop it. Calm down, everyone. Let there be light." And there was. And it was good. Wait a minute. I now see the chaos better. How the heck is this good? How is this better? I will say this. My brothers, God loved them. Someone ought to. No, I love them to death. Sometimes, especially at this point in time of the story I'm about to tell, it almost was death. Chaos. Take a 5,000-piece Lego set for a castle and take it apart and spread it across the floor in the bedroom between the door to my bedroom and the bed, knowing that if I turned on my light, my radio would come on and make noise, and so I wouldn't do that. Until I took a couple of steps into the room and realized I better turn on the light because everything was formless and void. And my feet were perforated. Yeah. Let there be light. Now I can see where things are. But more importantly, I know there's a way around. The chaos is still there. I still had to clean up all of those Legos. I won't tell you where I dumped them. Forgiveness was the strong suit at that point. But I can see a way forward. In the gospel we hear today, there's John the Baptist out in the wilderness. And people are going to him out in the wilderness. And he's out in the place where there are bandits, where it's undeveloped for the most part. You know, he's got such a wonderful sense of fashion. And more importantly, he discovered early the secret to never being asked to bring stuff to church potlucks. Thanks, John, for the honey and locusts. Next time, bring plates. Baptizing people in a muddy river. And people went to him. And one of them that went wandering into that wilderness to find him was Jesus. Jesus comes into our wildernesses. Jesus comes into those places of chaos. Jesus comes into all those things and breaks through and shows us light. Here comes the Spirit, even breaking through the surface of that muddy river. Here comes the Spirit. God is present. The good news is you. It's there already. Emmanuel, God with us. The good news is you. It is present. There's the verb. Because God comes to us. God is with us. Even Richard Rohr comments that the problem that we have in life is not the absence of God. It's the absence of the awareness of the presence of God. Because the chaos, the dirt, the wilderness, sins, whatever, cloud us, close us off, and we don't see anything. And so God is going to be persistent because you are the verb. You're the reason. Into the darkness, the light will come. Now some go, well, yeah, but I still don't see where God is. But how often is that because we're like this? I don't see any light. What do you mean? I still don't see any light. What do you mean? Oh. Wake up. Open your eyes. Uncover your eyes. The light is here. It can't be here. Yes, it is. Because there's the chaos, there's the mess, there's the wilderness, there's God. Now, sometimes, though, we're like, well, okay, well, we're not going to be like this. But then we're like this. Oh, unless God appears in this thin slice of my line of sight, nope, can't be there. Nope, 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 nope. Don't see him, don't see him. Because we often say, nope, can't be. And yet there's John the Baptist, dressed as he was, eating as he was, acting as he was, living where he was. And even he was bringing people to God. And there's this light. The light that comes. The light that shines in the darkness. a light that shows you that there is a way through, a way forward, a light that shines and says, there is another day, there is another chance, there is new life. The good news is that you are part of the good news. And in baptism, when you were baptized, there was a candle that was lit from the Christ candle, and it was given to you with a challenge. I prefer the term calling. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the verb. You have the light. The light has been given to you. The opportunity, the gift, and the ability to do has been given to you. Let it shine. Because even in the wilderness, let your light shine. You might cast light for others to be able to deal with it. Even in the midst of chaos, when everything's formless and void, let the light shine. And you'll see that one another are there together and that you're not alone. Let that light shine. You are the verb. It has been given to you to show, to share, so that others may know that grace that comes to us in the midst of our wildernesses, in the times when everything's chaotic, when things are just, and it will come to us in surprising ways from surprising people, so let it come to you. But then also let it go from you in the surprising and different weird ways. Because we need more light in the world, not darkness. We're called to let that light shine. In the beginning and throughout. And so I invite you to remember the promises God gave you in baptism. If you repeat after me, these are the things God promised you. I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. I've been marked with the cross of Christ forever. I am Christ's. You are the verb, the subject and the object. Christ is with you. Let your light so shine. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.